Now we come to the gospel, and it is because of this gospel that the other readings were mentioned. This is a very interesting gospel. It drops like a meteor out of heaven, clunk, right into the middle of John's gospel, chapter 8. It's very amazing that it's there that way. It's the story of the woman taken in adultery. Now, it's not Johannine style, for one thing. I just want to make sure I have my text open when we talk about it here. It just drops in there. And the Holy Spirit knows that it was too precious to get lost. So there it is. And it'll keep us kind of confounded till the end of time. It's not exactly Johannine style. It's found in some manuscripts. This text is the woman taken in adultery. It's found in some manuscripts in Luke. But this narrative, this event, is too precious to be lost. And so it's here, and it's in John's gospel. This is something that happened in our Lord's life, and you get a sense of his mercy and how he's fed up with the self-righteous. It's so beautiful. It's about adultery. Serious. At a time just previous to this, the punishment for adultery was death. If we started that, we'd lose a sizable portion of our population tomorrow. Adultery means nothing. To say nothing of fornication. Which means what? That we've lost our sense of human dignity and human sexuality. And now we're trying to extend it that people of the same sex can get married and have a marriage and have sexual relationships, which is kind of forgetting what sex is all about. But this text, it's a different, slightly different style than John. It could be John and just not. But as I say, it was a text that floated around in the tradition, a narrative, and it's found in some Gospels in Luke 19, I think, and I've forgotten, I should have looked it up. This maybe here tells me it doesn't. So, let's start it then. So, Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives. I guess he prayed there all night. Because it says at dawn, he went into the temple, and all the people came to him. And taking his seat, he taught them. He wants to tell them, guide them to the Father, and prepare them for his own death and resurrection, however he did that. So, the text goes on, the scribes and Pharisees, that is, the theologians and the canon lawyers, I guess, led a woman caught in adultery, and standing her in the middle, I have a question already. Where's the guy? It takes two to commit adultery. Where's the man? Is he off the hook? Caught in the act of adultery. He must have been around somewhere. Not a word about him. They don't care about her, that she's just sinned, that she's sullied her conscience, she's sullied her marriage, sullied his marriage. They don't care. They want to stick him with something that is going to get him in trouble with the authorities. That's all they want, and be looked and make the people lose respect for him. That's all. So they take this woman, caught in adultery, as I say, from my earliest reading of the Bible, in my teens, I said, where's the guy? You know, you need two, a male and a female, to commit adultery. Where's the guy? And according to the law, he's as punishable as she is. Well, he's not there, and it's not the main point of the story anyway. So, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses enjoined us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? Stoning is one of the most horrible deaths you can imagine. People are just throwing large stones at you, hitting you in the head and the arm and the foot, wherever, until you die. It's the punishment for adultery. Now, actually, in this time, it was mitigated a lot, but there was a penalty. Separation from the people, not able to go to the synagogue, whatever. But, you see, so Moses told us to stone such women. What do you say? They've got them. He says, stone her. What's all this mercy he's preaching about? If they let him go, he doesn't think adultery is a big deal. So what does he do? He'd be so disgusted, wouldn't he, at the using of this poor woman? So, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Everybody would love to know what he was writing. Some people take guesses that he was writing parts of the law. Grave crime has to be witnessed by two or three witnesses. Nobody knows what he was writing. They kept on asking him, well, what do you say? We've asked you a question. Now, just don't write on the ground there. Tell us, what do you think about this? So finally, he stood up and said to them, let the sinless one among you be the first to throw a stone. Be the first to throw a stone. Ha! That's marvelous, isn't it? If for nothing else, right now, to take this woman and use her as a, expose her sin to the whole world and use her to trap me, besides all your other sins. And so, he bent over again and wrote on the ground. But they, hearing this, were leaving one by one, beginning with the elders, this text is careful to tell us. When you get to be one of the elders, you better watch yourself. Then you got a whole string of sins you got to repent for, and you can't start throwing the first stone anywhere. And then he was left alone, and the woman was still in the middle. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? At this point in his commentary, Augustine says, there they are, miseria et misericordia, misery and mercy. There they are. Augustine knows what that's like. His misery, sin of sex mostly, met mercy, and it changed him. One of the greatest intellectuals who ever lived. And we would have been deprived of that. A, if he hadn't stopped committing adultery and fornication, and B, if he thought that it was somehow his work. He knew, after having tried and tried and tried, that his chastity was a gift from God. That's why he's such a doctor of grace. See? So, he was left alone, and the woman was still in the middle. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said, nor do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, don't sin anymore. Isn't that marvelous? I don't sin. I don't condemn you either. Free. You see, there she is. She probably sinned. I don't think they would try doing anything tricky, you know, like, but where's the man? And this woman, she committed adultery. That was wrong. But these people, using this woman, broadcasting her sin before the whole world, only using her to get at Jesus. Now that is a sin. That is a horrid sin. We're capable of that too, you know. But the story here is about mercy. You know, there's a part in Rome, I'm sorry, that's different. There's a story of Susanna. Remember how she wouldn't yield to those two men in the book of Daniel? That is read as the in a procession that goes over to St. Susanna's church, but it's in the old red light district of old Rome. So in the middle of the red light district, they stop the procession and they read out this gospel and probably preach on it. I remember when we used to have the Charismatic Renewal meetings in Atlantic City, which is a big prostitution city, or was, I don't know if it still is. So many of those women had a change of heart because the other women were preaching to them, meeting them on the boardwalk and talking to them, getting them out of that awful rut, degrading and so forth. But you see, what we have here on this Sunday is the proclamation of mercy. Mercy. Anybody caught in sin, step right up. You'll be forgiven by the kindness, the mercy, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who He is. He's going, I have a baptism with which I am going to be baptized, and how I am straightened until it takes place. And that baptism is the cross. I can hardly wait to run to the cross for you, as much as it costs me, and as much as my own being trembled in the garden at the thought of it. There's nothing I would rather do than die for you, so that you could be safe with me and have all your sins forgiven. One thing you want to do, don't throw stones at other people. You know, you're all in the same boat. Some big sins, some not quite so big. But you're all living by mercy. Acknowledge it. Treat one another with mercy. You see? So this Sunday, in cycle C, with this beautiful text, huh? And there they meet, misery and mercy. Put yourself over here in this role, misery, and go to mercy. Go to mercy, and you will receive mercy. And when you receive it like that, can you imagine that woman ever being harsh with anybody else? When she was just within the, 5 seconds, 10 seconds of being stoned to death. And all her sin exposed publicly. And Jesus forgave her. I don't condemn you either, woman. Go and don't sin anymore. Boy, oh boy. Isn't that beautiful? And so, that's... then the text is so beautiful. I have such a hoarse voice. I hardly, but I'm going to try. The first part goes, Nemo te condemnavit mulier. Does no one condemn you? Our Lord's voice, Nemo te condemnavit mulier. Then her voice, frightened, Nemo domine. You hear it? That's the chant, you know? Trying to create this movement for us. Nec ego te condemnavo, vade, et iam amplius noli peccari, go and sin no more. Majesty, beauty, forgiveness. Anybody who hears this gospel and is afraid of Jesus, you know, has got to really stop and think. How can you be afraid of somebody who not only lets his bruised, beaten body be exposed on every crucifix in the world to remind us of His love and make sure that this gospel, which is probably not even John, gets into the text so that the church can proclaim it year after year. If you need to go see Jesus, go. Be forgiven and know the wonder of that forgiveness. Amen.